And with that, it does bring us to our 2 p.m. time slot for the open forum. And I believe Director Tom Kirschman will be the open forum officer for this portion of our meeting. And again, this meeting is designated for public comment on petitions, proposals, and other items of interest not on the agenda. And with that, Director Kirschman, I'll throw it to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. I will serve as the hearing officer today. Again, we do not have a formal or an official public hearing because there's no finalizations on the commission agenda today. So we're going to go strictly into the open forum. The open forum, again, is an opportunity for individuals both present and virtually to speak to the commissioners about any topic that you would desire. We have multiple people that have registered, both again in person or virtually, to speak to the commissioners today. Some of the folks that are on the list will be speaking to a couple of items on the agenda that are coming up, commissioners, in particular on your petitions, but then there are also individuals that want to speak on other topics as well. So again, to all of you, a reminder, there is a 3-minute time limit for speaking to the commissioners on the topic that you'd like to visit with them about. I will try to give you an advance notice of about 30 seconds left, 20 seconds, whatever it is, and use that as your cue to start wrapping up what comments that you may have that you'd like to share with the commission. So, Madam Chair, if you're ready to go and the commissioners, we'll go ahead and start with the open forum.
Yes, please.
All right. I've got several folks here that indicated they wanted to talk about or provide some comments about one of the petitions on the commission agenda. So I'm going to start going down the list. And the first person I have is Justin Broughton. And I believe Justin is joining virtually. So, Justin, can you hear us?
I sure can, Tom. Thank you. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, Justin.
Perfect. Madam Chair, Commissioner, Secretary Roebling, appreciate you all taking the time today to hear my testimony in support of the petition brought by South Dakota bow hunters to require mandatory harvest reporting. As hunters, we're all stewards of the game we pursue, and part of being a good steward doesn't end just with the harvest. Taking the time to report our success or failure in the field is part of that stewardship, but unfortunately, as we know, not all of our tag holders participate in that with the voluntary surveys that we send out today. Requiring all hunters to provide meaningful data to the caretakers of our big game herds plays an important role in not only understanding how many animals we harvest, but also where they're harvested, the age and relative health of those animals. It can also include additional metadata that provides for our biologists in assisting in the understanding of the health of that resource. We don't know what we have if we don't know what we take. I ask that the commission also be good trustees of our state's resources and support this petition to ask the department to create rules requiring big game licensees to report their success or failure in the field. This petition allows the department flexibility in how they choose to draft and implement those rules. I just ask that the commission holds the department accountable for implementing those rules for the 2025 big game seasons. The department will likely oppose this petition, stating that there are challenges with enforcement or creating friction with customers or landowners. It's the sportsmen that are asking for this change. We submitted this petition, and within just a handful of days, we've had over 100 supporting comments that have come in through the public. And we've had numerous people that wanted to also submit public comment, but weren't able to just due to the timing of the petition and the timing of the commission meeting. Hopefully some of those folks are online to testify today. Sportsmen are willing and ready to participate. Enforcement of harvest reporting has been successfully implemented in 45 other states. It's as simple as an update to our existing software on the Go Outdoors platform to restrict the applicant from purchasing a license until they submit their harvest report online in the system they're already logged into. I just ask that the commission join your fellow South Dakota sportsmen in asking the department to implement this change for the future of our big game resources and not allowing us to continue to delay accurate and meaningful harvest reporting. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Justin. Next, I have Mr. Dana Rogers from Hill City. Dana.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you today. I also want to talk to you about the petition brought forth by the South Dakota Bow Hunters Association. I'm the executive director of the South Dakota Wildlife Federation, and we would like to support this particular petition. We appreciate the opportunity to chime in on it. Directors are generally in support of the petition for mandatory harvest reporting, allowing details to be worked out later through the staff, through the commissioners. If mandatory reporting is to be required for management setting tags, then we're absolutely behind this. Commission book will clearly show right now, as I'm looking at it, there's over 130 public comments in favor of this idea of mandatory harvest reporting, and I only see one or two dissenters. The only questions that we would basically have are, you know, what are the consequences for non-compliance, and if there's any details or costs involved that we don't really know about. I did talk to you, Tom, and you didn't seem to think that there was going to be any additional costs. So the South Dakota Wildlife Federation supports the South Dakota Bowhunters petition to implement a mandatory harvest reporting process. As the predecessor, President Justin Broughton, talked about, it's done all over the place. It's easy to do. It's already being done through the system in many other places. We just want to make sure that, you know, that there's a rule promulgation and that there's a necessary statute in place that we don't exacerbate any financial hardship to the department. But I absolutely agree it's sportsman's responsibility to provide the data. We want 100% data so that we can accurately provide the biologists all the information they need. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and I do hope you'll consider passing this.
All right. Thank you, Dana. Next person I have, Trevor Davis out of Sioux Falls. Trevor. He had to drop out. Okay. Next, Todd Craig. Todd from Rapid City.
Good afternoon. How are you all doing?
Good. Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
All right. I'm also in support of the mandatory harvest report. I really don't have much more to say because there's much more well-spoken individuals than I am, but I'd just like to say that I'm in favor of it. I think it'd have numerous benefits, whether it be knowing where animals are actually harvested. It'd be nice to have almost where you could drop a pin where you harvested. A lot of people might oppose that, but we could really break down hunting units and figure out, you know, where most of the deer are concentrated, where they're being harvested, and it would allow us to, you know, whether it be change boundaries at times or time frames when season dates are. Hopefully there wouldn't be any type of too much cost involved. That's one thing that I don't know how the commission would pay for this, but hopefully that wouldn't be an issue. I would really like to see this passed, considering that most states do have mandatory harvest reports, and it would really allow us a better information and data on our animals. So that's about all I got to say today. So I'll turn it back over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Next person, Tyler Pickett, I believe it is, from Sturgis. Tyler, are you joining?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, commissioners, Madam Chair, Secretary Roebling. I'm speaking today on behalf of the petitions that is submitted by South Dakota Bow Hunters, which is mandatory harvest reporting. Currently, our big game resource is managed primarily based on feedback from voluntary survey response, which hovers around a 50% response rate. Across the state, many units are suffering from a low quantity of deer and antelope. While we cannot control weather and disease, we certainly can control the impact we as hunters and humans have on our resource. Thanks to modern technology, many states have taken to adopt mandatory harvest reporting through platforms such as Go Outdoors, like we currently use in South Dakota. I firmly believe a great amount of the support this petition has garnered is a testament to several things. A lack of quality experience while big game hunting due to declining deer and antelope numbers, an exponential rise in crowded public lands. However, I do commend the staff and department on the public access they have added in recent years, but the frustration is still out there with fellow sportsmen. People are willing to go farther and hunt harder than in the past. 8+ mile hikes in some instances are more and more common. As well as with hunters are beginning to realize what South Dakota has to offer for hunting experiences, and they learn this from social media, online mapping such as Onyx Hunt app, all from the screen of their phone. Everything has been made easier for the average person to get out and hunt. Why not make the jobs of our wildlife professionals and biologists easier with advanced data collection? I truly believe people want a better experience, and if technology exists to help our biologists and staff make timely and accurate decisions, let's act on it. I'll end on one open question. What are we as hunters, conservationists, and trustees doing to restore deer and antelope numbers back to favorable quantities? Thanks for your time.
All right, thank you, Tyler. Next person, Phil Lentz from Sioux Falls. Phil, are you joining?
Can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead, Phil.
Commissioner, to staff, thank you for hearing me. A lot of things have been said already, but I'm here to support the big game requirement harvesting petition. Just a couple points I want to make. I cannot imagine that our biologists wouldn't love to have this data season after season. If we're not managing our animals, we won't have any animals to manage. And the second point I want to make is the fact that so many sportsmen are supporting this idea should speak volumes to the commission. We should put our wildlife over inducing a new app or whatever. The cost shouldn't even matter. Our wildlife is what matters. So please, I encourage you to adopt this. It's as simple as that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Next person, Robert, is it Mahaffey out of Rapid City? Robert, are you joining?
Can you guys hear me now?
We can. Go ahead, Robert.
All right. So pretty much everybody has said everything. I just got a couple underlying things. I'm with the South Dakota Bow Hunters Association as well as the board chair for the newly founded South Dakota Antelope Foundation. And I have been more supportive of this for some of the in different reasons. This is an opportunity for sportsmen to actually become involved in more than just harvesting wildlife or killing, however you want to put it. We have so many followers or so many people that engage with us that want to be involved in this and they want to participate in giving that data back that I don't see how we can't actually act on this. It's also been brought to my attention that just recently in the last short while that one of the pushbacks to potentially why this would not go through is because it could cause West River ranchers to become upset and potentially have another land lockout. And I guess my question at some point would be an explanation for that as to why that would be even an issue that we would take into consideration just from the amount of landowners and ranchers that I know that are supportive of this, that are actually more conservation minded than what we've ever had before because they realize the resource is not as plentiful as it has been in the past. And it also has way more beneficiaries that are taking part in the outdoor activities. So I guess I would just ask that you take this opportunity to get sportsmen more involved in wildlife, into the resource, versus just always taking, what can they do to give back? And this is very simply just mandating a survey. I know that I've heard conversations that in the next 18 months, there might be a soft rollout for an e-tag system. I 110% support that. However, if the survey is an intrusive issue, the e-tag would be tenfold that for being intrusive on people. So I understand that. I don't know. I just wish there was a little bit more transparency so that we actually knew what the plan or what the rollout or what was looking at or the reasons why this would not be something that we would be able to push forward with. So I thank you guys.
Thank you, sir. Next on the list, I have a couple of individuals that are here that would like to talk to the commissioners about elk. And the first person on the list is Walt Nagel of Reliance. Walt, are you joining virtually? Walt? Can you raise your hand by pressing star 9 if you're joining? Okay, we'll come back to Walt. Maybe he's working on that. Liz, next I have Brian Krause of Reliance. Brian, would you like to come up and address the commission? Please introduce yourself as well and where you're from again.
Hello, thank you, commissioners, for letting me visit here. My name is Brian Krause. I am a rancher in Lyman County. I live in the southeastern part of the Lower Brule Reservation. And as you guys know, we've got a elk population getting started, not a natural population. They obviously escaped from Lower Brule tribe via neglect. We have several pictures of them. We have just yesterday there were 6 bull elk that were just a mile and a half away from my house. But my concern is when this elk population that is not managed gets out of control, what are we going to do about it? I mean, I'm a rancher. I have heard about how much damage they can do to hay and feed. Once I get to my place, I got corn on the ground year-round with my feedlot, silage, hay. I do not want to see that get destroyed by an unmanaged herd. I just wish you guys would consider doing some sort of management program, maybe starting an elk unit on the reservation and off, I don't know. Some depredation programs, whatnot. I guess that's my concern. So I can see problems in the future with them being unmanaged. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Brian. Next, Charlie Bowe of Chamberlain.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioners. So my name is Charlie Bowe. I live in Chamberlain. Farm and ranch, North Reliance, kind of borders the Lower Brule Sioux Tribe. I guess I just wanted to speak a little bit about some of the damage. I should also tell you I'm a crop consultant, so I've actually seen some of the damage in a cornfield and stuff. I know what they do. And it's, you know, it can be substantial. You get 30, 40 head of elk, full-grown elk in a cornfield, they'll stay there for, you know, if there's a water source, they'll stay there for a month, just living there, and they'll just knock down all kinds of corn and just cause a lot of problems. The other issue is, you know, they winter really well because they're corn fed. They reproduce really well because they're corn fed. And so, like our hay stockpiles and stuff around, they'll get into them and tear them down and stuff. And also another big issue that I've seen is the fences. Elk don't go over fences, they go through them and cause all kinds of problems with ranchers and cattle getting mixed up and getting in the cornfields and whatnot. So I would just say, you know, maybe our elk population isn't at a high level right now, but it's going to get there. And I would just ask the commission to be proactive on this mitigation, things we can do. I know there's an issue with the tribe and the deeded land and, you know, not being able to get a license on the deeded land. And the state doesn't issue one either, so they're just kind of in limbo what they can do. And another issue, I'm mostly off the reservation of my land, and I tried to get a license last year, and I had to prove I had 500 elk unit days or whatever. I was like, well, if I get 500 elk unit days, we got a big problem already. So I would just encourage you to maybe make it easier for landowners to get licenses as well. So anyway, that's my comments, and thank you for your time.
Charlie, just real quick, can you clarify, are we talking about reservation land? Is it both on and off?
Right. They're traveling. Like Brian was saying, we think they kind of mostly came from the preserve, but now they've been off of the, you know, they've been out ranging for probably a couple of years since 2022 and the snowstorm. And a lot of people's fences went down that year. And I don't think they ever repaired their fence. Anyway, these animals have been free ranging, and now they're starting to reproduce and just travel, you know. So, yeah, we're talking both on and off the reservation.
Okay,
basically.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have Brad Carlin from Reliance.
Thank you, Commission, for giving us the opportunity to speak. I'm a landowner on the border and the reservation, plus our main headquarters is off the reservation. But we also have 4,000 acres within the reservation deeded land. And my concern here is we need to adjust this hunting license issue because we're sitting here landlocked. I'd ask that the Commission add us to the West River Prairie elk unit. Which is, you know, I'm not interested at all being tied into the reservation unit license because I don't want to pay $5,000 for an elk license, you know, because that's basically what the bull elk is listed on their sheet now. So right now we're landowners. All of us guys that are really here today are farm/have grassland both. And in our area here, majority of the cropped land on definitely on our side of the county or the reservation is deeded land. You know, on the other side, you'd have all the irrigation that's more of the tribe themselves. And we're up on the, just up on the river break, above the river breaks. And the elk tend to hide in the cedar tree development that's on the river breaks, come up and feed up on top in our wheat fields, our corn fields, in essence. So we're kind of in the area. We're in the fall. They're going to be hitting us the hardest because we got the fall crop that they'll come at. Because, for example, here right now, I have a 40-head elk herd that's staying on about an 800-acre tract I got that I've documented and shared it with Mark Holmes, basically video of it. So basically, we're in a bad spot there because we're right on that edge, and that for winterness wise, it's easy to duck in to hide in the trees, run up, eat on my wheat stubble, or volunteer wheat, or I'm not volunteer wheat. I'm more worried about planted wheat and that cycle of it, that being hard on it. But we just asked, big quest is to add us to, we have the right to be on the same playing field that we can. Ourselves participate hunting, or if I want a guest to come in, I got the right to bring in a guest, you know, that kind of thing to help us manage, keeping them from just us being the sanctuary. They're going to all run to us because everybody's shooting around us, and that's where the feed's at anyway. So that's basically my concern. I'll answer any questions. I can help. Appreciate it.
We do have a question here. Commissioner White.
Sorry. Commissioner White here. I guess each of you talked about having a relationship border with the reservation. How is your communications with the reservation regarding this subject?
About the elk particular?
Yes.
I have not really visited with the tribe so much on that. You know, I've viewed how the license deal is, and that's kind of my angle here. I haven't had any issues with them on it, you know, as far as me raising heck with them on it. You know, I think it's more of a, at this point, I guess I should say, I haven't had any big, they haven't yet to cause me actual physical damage yet.
Okay.
The head counts there, I'm more worried about them. The area where these are, you know, I start virtually knowing of their whereabouts it'd be not 2 years prior to this year. We had like, I knew of maybe three of them, okay, that had been in the area. Then last year there was like 15, and all those big talk, there's 15. They spent a lot of their time over on a different field of mine that they'd just go in there and water. And then, but there was a bean field above it, and they were out there. You could tell they'd been out there at times where, you know, just by laid down crop, stuff like that. I'm not driving around daily looking for this, you know, trying to sight them. But you, when you combine, you kind of seen that. But they tended to just retreat back into the trees later, and early, they'd be out there early in the morning, water, and then leave. Okay. Then this year, there's a 40 head I was talking about. I know of at least 15 more that are just off to the other side of our place, just off running around on the edge of us. We had a sighting some off the reservation right next to my mother's home place, which, you know, we bordered a tribe right in there about, well, I'd have to figure it out, that actually, I should say we border, but we're on both sides for some of that. I would bet it's 10 miles, you know, if you went along that corner and stuff. So I've got quite a bit of, I've got by far the majority shared border to them.
All right. I guess my question was, has there been any discussion with the tribe about the damage that you're...
I haven't had the actually materialized damage yet, because this just lately, okay, here is when we start, this year is when we started seeing the big number.
Okay.
And what I'm getting at, I'm more, as a landowner, it's my right to be able to submit for a license.
Right.
I'm being left in the middle, not getting it.
Thank you.
Commissioner Locken.
Brad, sorry to hold you up here, Commissioner Locken.
I'm not a very good speaker. I get too nervous.
You know, it's a little bit new to me here, and I know you're being proactive, and we really appreciate that. I think you're taking the right track. Give me a little background on what the tribe has been doing. They've been issuing some tags. Elk tags, are they in a fenced area? Are they keeping them in a... Was there planned originally to have them in a fenced area? Or
they built a fence years ago, and you know, I honestly can't say where they actually came from. I know there's other areas where the elk are running around with deer tags, but that's not in this case. You know, not from this side of the reservation. But They built a fence, and they got buffalo and elk in there, and they sell it to Old Hunts. Okay, now, you know, now they got it. Last year was the first year that I was aware of that they had, they were issuing $100 hunt fee for outside the pen that was available to, I should say, year before last. That's right. It was available to tribal members only. Then this last year they had something about I think it was actually available to non-tribal members and tribal members just outside the fence hunt. But now the pricing, that you go online now, their pricing scale I was visiting with Mark Ohm about that, and he verified, I was right, it says that it's $5,000 for a non, what do you want to say, free-range elk bull, $800 for a cow, okay? But, and that, he said, that'd be the stuff that's running around here. And that's the fee, is what he informed me anyway. I wasn't 100% sure, looking at myself, they didn't, because there's actually considered a harvest one and something, there's some other classes in there they got that must be what's in the pen or something, I don't know. Don't know the answer to that one.
But. I think what I'd like to do, Commissioner Locken, did you have another question? What I'd like to do is I want to finish our open forum process and then perhaps take this offline with the department so we can get some additional information on all of this topic. I think that would be the best way to do that. Secretary Roebling.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I just want to thank these landowners for coming in here today to express their concerns, and absolutely, we'll hold a public meeting down there, learn more about the elk and elk damage that's in Kieran or about to, you know, happen. We're very proactive in this, and I don't see any issue why we couldn't, you know, make some boundary changes and those sorts of things. So I'll ask staff to meet with you folks, and we'll get the ball rolling. So thanks for coming. So appreciate it.
Yeah, we're going to be taking a break here shortly, so we'll circle up and figure out a time to chat. So thank you.
Thank you.
With that, Director Cushman, can we continue with our open forum?
Yes, Madam Chair. Next person I have is Tyler Frederick of Reliance.
Thank you, commissioners, for allowing me to be here today. But yeah, I just want to reiterate, being a privately landowner on the reservation, I don't want to be a sanctuary for these elk. And I'm trying to raise kids that love the outdoors the same way I do. I should have the right to at least apply for a tag to get me the ability to hunt on my own land. That's it's no different than I can take landowner preference on a deer on non-tribal land. And then, we just got to, what I hope out of this is we can adjust the boundary of that West River unit to include privately deeded property on the Lower Bow Reservation. I mean, The rest of the guys kind of said it all, but I just want to reiterate that I want to be ahead of this before, you know, went from 14 last year to 40 this year. What's it going to be next year, 100? That's can be pretty damaging to a section of corn. So thanks a lot for your time.
And last, Walt Nagel. Walt, or were you able to connect in?
What is?
Yeah. Got a couple more here, so we'll hold on and see if Walt joins us again. So next on some of the open forum we have, first I'd like to invite Mr. Bill Hines up to the microphone. Bill Hines. Again, please state your name and, 3 minutes to address the commission.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commission. I'm part of the Bill Squared, Bill Wackerly and Bill Hines. I saw some of you guys at lunch, and part of our reason for being here is to keep your blood pressure up. But first thing I want to do is also, I've been working with you guys since 2022, I believe we started. And John Lott, Mark Finsel, Secretary Roebling, Michael Barnes, Cody, Brian, all those guys out there, they're doing a wonderful job. And you guys need to be proud of them and keep them going. I want to keep them going, because what they're doing is they're creating healthier fish and more fish in my fishery. And that to me is important. That's why I'm here. But the one thing I want to talk about is these RASs, which Cleghorn has been online for a year and a half, 2 years now. And maybe you don't hear this, maybe you do. Those guys are doing a phenomenal job, but I want you as a commission to keep anything in front of them that they need, whether it be a little funding, whether it be personnel, whether it be equipment. This thing needs to get online and stay online. That's the future of our fishing. You look at what's going on in the reservations with not being able to collect eggs for whatever reason. I don't want to get into that, but according to Mark Finsel, if we get these RASs and Michael Barnes, we may need half the eggs, because they have a 60-70% survival rate versus a 10% in the field. This is all more important for going forward for the urban fisheries, for all of the requests for the fish. I don't care if it's just walleyes. In my opinion, that's the only fish, but everybody else has different ideas. But we need this going forward, because it's our sustainable growth in the fishing. And the fish that we're seeing on Oahe now, because of Mark Finsel and his gizzard shad, they are phenomenal. They're in healthy shape. They're in beautiful shape. We just need more numbers. There's plenty of forage out there. We need more fish to eat the forage and grow so we can catch them and kill them. That's my purpose. And I thank you very much for the opportunity, but keep going forward. Anything that these guys ask you, please listen to them and adhere to them, because they need it. We need it going to keep this fishery going. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Next, Bill Wackerly.
Bill Wackerly with the Walleye Coalition. Madam Chairman and Commissioners, it's a pleasure to be here again and visit with you about the status of the walleye and Lake Oahe and the status of fishing throughout South Dakota. Our goal, of course, when we started in September was to improve the fishing in Lake Oahe. We quickly realized that our efforts should be expanded to improve fishing throughout the state, especially Lake Oahe and the river system and those lakes and reservoirs containing walleye, but also the urban fisheries around the town, so young people will have a chance to catch a fish and learn how to fish. And like I've said before at these meetings, every mother will allow their son or daughter to have a fishing pole, but they won't all allow them to have a gun. So we know fishing is important. It's popular for families, and bringing them to Lake Oahe has been an extraordinary experience. The businesses are really appreciate what has happened there so far. The population is up, the number of fish are up, the restaurant and bar business is up, things are looking real good. But our problem is we still don't have enough resources to stock all the waters in South Dakota. And like Mr. Hines said, we need the RAS built. I'm very impressed with the fact that you hired Aaron at Blue Dog. It has RAS experience, comes from Kansas. It also informs me that he's had broodstock experience, and we would also recommend to the commission, the secretary, and everyone involved that we looked at developing broodstock so we can back up our egg supply to make sure we have enough eggs to hatch to meet the needs of all of our RASs. I understand, and I visited, had a good tour at Blue Dog. They're building RAS facility there. They've got some tanks and going to expand the building. We ask for your support to make sure that happens. It takes money and personnel, of course, to do this. And we know the revenue from fishing across the state is going to expand dramatically. I don't know how many of you realize it, but the state of South Dakota state record walleye is over a pound and a half above any fish that's ever been caught in Lake Erie. Now, if you don't think that doesn't bring fishermen to South Dakota, we've had 37 fish registered that I'm aware of in our area that have been over 13 pounds in the last 45 days. That doesn't mean we want people to go catch big fish. That just means that fishery is attracting a lot of people. And if we can stock all of our other reservoirs and other areas in South Dakota, we can make them all attract people. And we know that fishermen and hunters are money. So anyway, I would like to also say that there's an opportunity potentially at Blue Dog to develop a gizzard shad source other than at pier, because there's times when we can't get enough. And so if that opportunity avails itself, we would like to be able to raise a gizzard shad there and make sure we have enough food to feed all the walleye we would stock. Well, just thank you for this opportunity to visit with you again, and have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thanks for all your efforts and contribution to the welfare of wildlife and fisheries in South Dakota.
Thank you, Bill. Next person we have here is Bill Barnett out of Hartford, South Dakota. Bill, are you joining? Bill, can you hear us? We'll give it a minute there. I'm going to go on to the next one then. Alexei Agarov of Brookings. Alexei, are you joining online?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you for joining. Please address the commission. You have 3 minutes, so go ahead.
I'm Alexei from Brookings. I'm here to advocate rights of nation animals. Recently, I submitted an appeal where I call GFP to terminate Nest Predator Bounty Program due to its cruelty, inefficientness, corruption, and so on. I submitted brief descriptions, analysis, and references for each drawback of program. Not enough time here to go into details. They are in my appeal. I'd like to highlight a few points that baffle me. First, narratives like technique used for decades, traditions to keep the community strong, and so on. Traditions led to the collapse of the Roman Empire. Tradition of racial segregation led to socioeconomic disparities. Slash to burn agriculture tradition has led to soil degradation. Thanks to trophy hunting tradition, we've lost white rhinoceros. If you stuck to tradition, we'd still be running around with a stone axes. We live not in second century, we live in third millennium. Many traditions have sunk into oblivion and look absurd now. We no longer crucify on stakes, burn witches on fire, or have gladiator fights. We don't shoot buffaloes from train for fun. And it does not occur to anyone to maintain archaic traditions, so they have existed for ages. Killing native wild animals for fun is on the same page with the state traditions and takes us back to the rude and uneducated Wild Wild West epoch. Narratives like great way to get youth outside, fun activity for kids. Do you really have no other ideas for outdoor recreation other than killing pregnant and nursing females? Point two. Less expensive methods to improve game birds population are based on increasing area of diversity of habitats, including tall grass communities and forest patches as winter shelters. That will reduce effectiveness of predators and increase winter survival and nesting success by up to 80%. Why not to focus on well-known effective and less expensive methods? So, what do we have by now? Strong opposition from experts. Hundreds of comments, 90% against in PBP in 2020. Negative attitude in media. Dozens of examples how bounty programs failed in other states. No evidence of its effectiveness in South Dakota. And approval in GFP commission. It appears the system of checks and balances is broken in South Dakota. In closing, I would like to emphasize that I'm not calling for a change of NPBP rules. I appeal to terminate the bounty program entirely and leave it in the past as a dark page of natural resources management in South Dakota. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexei. I'm going to go back to two other ones that we have not heard from yet. Mr. Walt Nagel from Reliance. Walt? Liz, not seeing Walt. Okay. And what about Bill Barnett from Hartford, South Dakota? Bill? Okay. I'll ask if there's anybody else in the audience that would like to address the commission in the open forum that has not done so already. Madam Chair, about the two not responding, I guess if we could, for now, at least close the open forum. If they call us back, I guess we can. You can make a judgment call then if you'd like to hear their comments at that
time. Very good. Thank you, Director Kirschman. And thanks to everybody who joined us today in person and virtually to share your thoughts. They are important, and we're going to touch base with a few of you on some items. And with that, we are going to take a 15-minute break. We'll come back at 3 o'clock and take up the petitions. So we will be at ease until 3 p.m. Central Time. All right. Welcome back, everyone. We're going to get back to work here again, our December 2024 Game Fish and Park Commission meeting. We are at the petition part on our agenda, and the